Shalom. We are continuing in Piska Mem, that's 40, of Enaya, and Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadita, on the second chapter of Masachat Shabbat. And we'll go quickly through the Gemara again, and then a quick synopsis of what we saw last time. Kishana bana Shlomo at Beit HaMikdash, when Solomon built the Holy Temple, Bikshu lachnis aron lebet kodshei hakodashim. The Kohanim wanted to bring the Aron, the Holy Ark, into the Holy of Holies. Davku she'arim ze bazeh. But the gates locked themselves, closed themselves, stuck together. They didn't let the Kohanim bring the Holy Ark in. Amar Shlomo esrim va'arba renanot v'lo na'ana. Shlomo said 24 saying 24 prayers, and he still wasn't answered. Patach v'amar se'ushi arim rashechem, and obviously the question is, where does the number 24 come from? What does that have to do with anything? And then he started saying the Psalm 24, se'ushi arim rashechem v'nasu pitche olam, open up your gates, open up the gates of the world, v'yavo melech hakavod, and the honorable king shall come, will come. Ratu batrei lemivlei. The gates thought he was referring to himself, that he's calling himself, open up for the honorable king, me, and they wanted to swallow him up. Amru, the gates said, as if it were, Mize melech hakavod. Who is the honorable king? What, you think it's you? Amar lehu Hashem izuz v'gibor. Shlomo melech answered right away, no, God is the one who is strong. He was the king that I was referring to, the honorable king. Chazar v'yamar, immediately Shlomo HaMelech continued, and he repeated the similar prayer a second time. Su she'arim rashechem usu pitchei olam v'yavo melech hakavod. Mi huz ha'melech hakavod? In case he didn't understand, who is the honorable God that you should open up your gates for? Hashem tzvakot u'melech hakavod sela. It is God Almighty Himself. V'lo na'ana. And even after all that, the gates still didn't open to let the ark in. Kevan she'amar Hashem Elokim al tashei pnei mishichecha. Zachra lechazdei David avdecha. But when Shlomo mentioned that the gates should open in honor of David his father, miyad na'ana. The gates opened up. Be'otah sha'a nefchu pnei kol sonei David kishulei k'deira. And at that time, all of the enemies of David, all of his opponents that we spoke about in the past, who spoke about rumors about David and Bathsheba, who in his lifetime he couldn't do away with those rumors. He could do tshuva, he could repent between him and God, but he couldn't fix his name among the masses. But all of the masses at that time knew that God had forgiven him. What we saw last time in the first half of Piska Mem, is that Shlomo HaMelech, like his name, represents the completeness, when Am Yisrael is complete. And the reason why he was able to build the Beit HaMikdash, Chazal tell us that only after Am Yisrael conquers the land of Israel, has a king, defeats Amalek, the enemies of Israel, only then the third step is to build the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, you need national strength, national honor, in order to have that spiritual honor. We mentioned last time, Rav Herzog, V'chein ten kavod Hashem li'amecha, that the first step in the redemption after the Holocaust is to return honor, respect to the Jewish people. Afterwards, continues the prayer, Tila li'reyecha, v'tikva tova l'darshecha, simcha le'artzecha, v'sason le'irecha. And then the Mashiach will come. The Mashiach coming is at the end of the process. The first stage in the process is honor to Am Yisrael. And we spoke about how national honor really is divided up into two. Simple national honor, that is the Igaret, the letter that we saw, that Rav Tzvi Yehuda wrote to his father, and which his father, Rav Kook, answered him. Right, the two letters together helped, only together can you understand the story of this Austrian sailor who Rav Tzvi Yehuda saw on his way to Europe. He saw an English ship, a big English freighter, And Rotzida asked the Austrian sailor, what, is this also a German ship? Because it's much bigger than the ship that they were on. So the Austrian said, nah, those are Englisher. That's an English ship. But everyone was admiring that it was so much bigger, it was very imposing, that English ship. And then the sailor added in, but wait till you see the real Austrian ships. We got ships a lot bigger and a lot stronger than that one. And Rav Tzvi asked his father, what should I make out of this simple nationalism? This national feeling, is it legitimate? Or is it racist? Is it? And Rav Kook answers that it's something very, very natural. In other words, godly. And it's good. And anybody who doesn't feel proud when Israel wins a gold medal in the Olympics or something like that, if you don't feel proud, you're lacking something in your national connection. Even though it's very basic, and it's something that, as we said last time, Davka, that type of national pride is found more among the simpletons, among the masses, whether it be in France or England and America. And nevertheless, that national emotion is something very good. Rav Kook calls it there, it's something holy. Something holy, something godly, something natural. Then he continues. Let's start three lines from the bottom of the right-hand column on page 83. Aval, davar ze eino ki im regesh tivi. This type of national, gut national feeling, that gut national pride, shebanui al pi netiyot gufaniyot. This emotion is something very close to gufaniyot, to the physical side of a person, which means that it's more base. It's even, you could say, he doesn't say close to animalistic, but it's among animals, you also have lahavdil, that certain pride, the pack works together. But it's something which is close to the emotion, tears, smiles. These are very physical attributes. They're different from physical. They're more with the nefesh than the goof. Right? There are different levels. There's the goof, the nefesh, and the neshama. The body, the soul, and the nefesh is somewhere in the middle. So that emotion, or something in the middle, that's pretty close to the physical, she'efshar leitbatel. And that also can very easily, even though it's natural, the fact that its base could be lost. In other words, look at the intellectual world today. The more intellect a person is, in general, I'm talking in a generalization, the less nationalistic they are. Right? You go to the universities, and you'll find there's a disproportionate amount of liberals among the professors, among the academicians. Right? They have, in Narutshev, always they have to try and and dig work out, hard to dig out some right-wing professors. And there are there, but you can't be naive. There is a tendency among the intelligentsia to be more left-wing. Look at the New York Times, look at the Washington Post. It's that way in every country. It's not just in Israel, it's that way in America, it's that way all over the world. Aval. Be Yisrael, haregesh hazeh mitached im haseichel hayoter tahor. The chidush of Israeli nationalism, of Jewish nationalism, what we call Zionism, is that it is not that base, lowly, almost animalistic emotion, but it is an emotion which is merged with the intellect, with the Torah. We're talking about that when Am Yisrael is at its peak, economically, politically, militarily, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that's the time to build the Beit HaMikdash, to get into that higher level of spirituality. And where is the climax of the Beit HaMikdash? The Torah, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That ark, the holy ark with the Ten Commandments, and according to the rabbis, the Sefer Torah was there also. That is the heart of the intellect of Am Yisrael, where when you read the Torah, and you learn the mitzvot, you see that Jewish nationalism, the role Am Yisrael, has an idealistic role, a moral role, right, that we read about this week. I spoke about at the Kiddush on Shabbat. V'nivrchu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adamah. That through Jewish nationalism, through Avraham Avinu, is going to come goodness to the entire world. In other words, this is an intellectual nationalism, which makes sense and does not contradict the emotion. Okay, ki amitat ha-chokhma, he, the true intellect, the true knowledge, it, and not the emotion, amavia li yesod avat Hashem, ve'achefetz betuv haklal kulo. When you want to understand the goodness of God and the truth of God, it comes from learning the Torah. It comes from the intellect. Right, like David HaMelech says to Shlomo in Divrei HaYamim, da et Elohei avicha ve'avdehu. Know God, and then you can serve Him b'lev shalem u'b'nefesh chafetza. If you want motivation to serve God, it comes through the intellect. Right? Emotion is good. As a matter of fact, we'll see, the heart of the Beit HaMikdash also deals with avodah. Avodah, the service, the prayer, the sacrifices, that was a very emotional thing. But it comes together with the intellect of Da'et Elokei Avicha. And as we know, the Torah uses the word knowledge for love. Right? V'adam yada et chava ishto v'tar v'teled ben. Right? And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she became pregnant and she had a son. She bore a son. Knowledge comes together with love. You can't love something that you don't know. The same thing about God, same thing about the land of Israel. Right? Somebody who doesn't go to Hebron, he can't love Hebron. Right? Somebody who never met a shidduch, and you offer him or her a shidduch, a match, and never met her, how can you love her? Right? You can only love that which you know. V'achafetz betuv haklal kulo, she'a kavod Hashem le'olam v'she'a samach b'ma'asav. Here, Rav Kook is saying it very clearly. If you would have thought that Jewish nationalism is to defeat the other nations of the world, the answer is the exact opposite. Jewish nationalism is for the betterment of the universe. The other nations of the world benefit from the morality and from the monotheism that Avraham Avinu brought to the world. I think we might have mentioned last week, Rav Tzvi Tal says it nicely, that the wars of Am Yisrael are wars against war. Right? That is, it's a nationalism of peace, right? As I mentioned in Shabbat, that a Frenchman, the more patriotic he is, the more he hates the English. An Englishman, the more patriotic he is, the more he hates the French. And the German, the more patriotic he is, the more he hates everyone else. In other words, nationalism is dangerous. Nationalism usually contradicts morality, except for when it comes to a nationalism, like the nationalism of Israel, whose raison d'etre, the whole reason why we exist, was to bring morality to the world. The whole dream of the lion will live with the lamb, that comes from Jewish nationalism, from the Jewish Tanakh. Hine, בכל האומות שאין הגדולה שלהן מצד פרטיותן יכולה להיות אמצעית להביא את הטוב הכללי. Regarding the other nations of the world, that their goodness is private and is not something, there is no international, eternal, universal, moral role of the French or the Americans. Maybe democracy did play a very important role in the development of human history, right? But 1,000, 2,000, a million years from now, I don't know how much people will remember it. Maybe yes, maybe no. But
most would argue the Americans brought the democracy rather than the French.
American
Revolution was...
Right, after the French Revolution.
It was first.
What? American was the
1776, right?
And the French Revolution?
1789.
Yeah, it was around the same time. Okay. Ein harega shelahen mitzad achiba lumit hanimtzet bichlal ha'uma mitachedi maseichel atahor. Nationalism in other countries does not unite with the intellect. It's emotional, right? When the fans get together to cheer on their national soccer team, that is an emotional experience. It is definitely not an intellectual experience. And that's why very often it comes together with beer and riots, and it's not something very positive. Aval bi Yisrael, oto haregesh ha-le'umi, hu basis ve-kisei la-madat ha-chefetz shel ha-sechel ha-tahor. ואותה תכלית של החוכמה האלוהית התאורה בטובת הכלל כולו יוצאת לפועלה דווקא על ידי אמצעות של המילוי של הרגש הטבעי הישראלי. It's a long sentence, so I'll cut it in the middle. Rav Kook has a very, very important article in Otsrot Ariya, it appears, on page 766, where he stresses that everything that he's writing here is referring to religious Zionism. Regarding secular Zionism, unless we succeed in returning secular Zionism to its Tanakhic, to its biblical roots of morality, of religion, of monotheism, secular Zionism may very well take the track of non-Jewish nationalism, patriotism, which may even come to racism, right? And that's a very serious issue. Jewish nationalism is not putting down other nations. The opposite. It is we're trying to drag everyone up. Like I always say that, halavai, I wish the Germans would claim that their role as the Aryan race is to bring morality to the world. They were neo-paganists. They spoke against morality. They saw morality, Nietzsche sees morality as a weakness. Halavai the French, halavai the every nation in the world, if they would claim that their role as the chosen people is to bring morality, halavai, let everyone claim that they're the chosen people, that their goal is to bring peace and love and justice, tzedek u'mishpat, to the world. Right? Rav Kook says that if Jewish nationalism doesn't fill that role, לא נוכל להיות כלל בטוחים שנוכל לומר עליהם שלנו הם. The day will come where the sons or grandchildren, he says explicitly, two or three generations, that the children or grandchildren of those original diehard Zionists, we might be very embarrassed of who they are. עלול וקרוב מאוד הדבר. He says it's very possible and very realistic שהבנים של אותם אבות שהם מתפארים הרבה בלאומיות כזאת. The sons of those Anu Banu Arza, those socialist, nationalist, secular, anti-religious Zionists, their children will be intellectual enough that they will turn their back on Zionism. Because if that's what Zionism is, that's not for the intellect. Because again, most of the intellects in the world, they're against nationalism. They're in favor of humanism, to be cosmopolitan, whether it be through socialism, workers of the world unite, whether it be through the global humanism that everyone should intermarry and be equal and share and have an international economy. All of these are beautiful ideas. And Rav Kook says that, just like as we mentioned before, the way of the world is evolution, to constantly improve, to mature, mankind is going to mature and look down on nationalism as racist. And those, the sons and the grandchildren of today's, in his day, the early 20th century, diehard Zionists, they're going to get to a stage where they will hate the land of Israel and hate the nation of Israel. And that's the Israeli left today. That's the post-Zionist. Right? If Aviv Geffen at a concert takes out an Israeli flag to trample on it in the name of humanism, that's exactly what Rav Kook saw. Because it's inevitable. It's inevitable that the world is going to mature and to look down on nationalism as something very particular, clannish, emotional. And Rav Kook says that is true about every nationalism except for religious Zionism. Secular Zionism, it could turn into the same thing. because they'll see the emptiness of it. The second or third generation will see the emptiness of Zionism without the role of the chosen people, without the role of the Bible, of Kibbutz Galiot, and fulfilling all those nice prophecies of peace, and they'll turn their back on Zionism. אבל בישראל, אותו הרגש הלאומי הוא בסיס וכיסא למדת החבץ של השכל הטהור. In among Israel, the nationalism is not just empty emotion, but it is intellectual. It's the base of the intellect, of the ideals. ואותה תכלית של החוכמה האלוהית הטהורה בטובת הכלל כולו. That is the whole reason why God created this idea of the chosen nation. To influence the world, to be a light to the Gentiles, to the other nations. Yotzeit lepoala davka al yedei emtzaut shel hamilui shel haregesh hativi hayisraeli. The more the nation of Israel is full, our economy, our culture, our army, like in the time of Shlomo, that is the time to merge it with the bringing of the Torah into the Holy of Holies. זהו הרגע של החפץ הנטוע לראות בטובת עם השם האלה. This is the emotion, through the intellectual way to get to the understanding of the importance of the emotional aspect of nationalism. וההוראה של ההתאחדות הזאת, חיבור השכל עם הרגש. This teaching that the Gemara and that the Tanakh is teaching us that the intellect is meant to unite with the emotion. Hopefully that sounds familiar. This is the classic holism of Rav Kook, where you take the thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis, right? You have on the one hand emotion, on the other hand intellect. They're really, were created by the same God and meant to harmonize together. Shu davar miyuchad liYisrael, but when it comes to nationalism, this can only be found in Israel. Ki bechol uma v'lashon, mitzad etzem ha-chokhma romema, ein mitkomemet banetiata ha-leumit. V'im chacham, here Rav Kook really, I don't remember him, you know, inevitably over 35 books, sometimes he repeats ideas, but every now and then you see, oh, here he is defining his idea in the most clearest form. In this following sentence, Im chacham gadol hatzofe ledvarim gdolim lichlal bruei Hashem, yegam ken davek ba'avat leumo. If you see a wise man who sees the importance in all of God's creation and creatures, ein ze mipnei, and he also has that national feeling, ein ze mipnei she'ad makom shanatiya shel chokhmato magad sham rigsho magia. כי מפני שהוא גם כן עסוק בדברים שהם שפלים מערך חוכמתו. In other words, if you see an intellectual person outside of Israel who is national, who is patriotic, it is not because of his intellect, it's despite his intellect. And even though Rav Kook, throughout his writings, he praises Jewish nationalism, here he's saying very clearly, Jewish nationalism is good. Because it is an idealistic, intellectual, universal, eternal, godly idea. But in the rest of the world,
it doesn't work.
But that nisuach is really, again, it's not because, by mostly intelligent people, their nationalism is not because of their intellect, but it's despite their intellect.
Aval b'Yisrael. On the other hand, in Israel, שאותה תכלית שהשכל הטהור האלוהית סופה, היא מתקיימת דווקא על ידי ההתקיימות של ההצלחה יותר גדולה לאומית.
In Israel, it's the exact opposite. In the days of Mashiach, it's going to be like we're reading about here in the times of Solomon, where the whole God, temple, revelation, prophecy, that will only return after the national return. Right, the order, we mentioned this many times, the Gemara Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, tells us that the order of the brachot of the Shmona Asrei, from the ninth bracha, blessing on, tells us the order of the redemption. Where first it starts out with Barech Aleinu, the fruitfulness of the land of Israel, that's a national blessing. Then Kibbutz Galiot, the Jews will return to the national land. They're not religious yet. Only then Hashiva Shofteinu, that we will return to having the Sanhedrin, the state will be run according to Halacha, afterwards the building of the Beit HaMikdash, afterwards the coming of Mashiach.
What's with the bracha of Chazor v'Tshuva that comes before that?
That the Gemara says that the order Gula begins with the ninth bracha. Those, the brachot beforehand, they were placed where they were placed for other reasons. Everyone for a various reason. But they have nothing to do with the order of the Geula. Alken. So again, so the in the Nash, the redemption, how do you say Geula?
Redemption
begins with a national redemption, upon which, after we have the Kli, the framework of the State of Israel, and the Jews are coming back home, and we've revived the holy language, then we can rebuild the temple and get to that higher spiritual level. But the two go together, and they're part of the same tahalich, part of the same process, where the emotion, i.e. nationalism, and the intellect go together. And I'll add, Rav Kook adds here another aspect. The emotion is temporary. Nationalism, emotion, is temporary. It has ups and downs, sometimes, like all emotion. Sometimes you're more motivated, sometimes less motivated. On the other hand, the intellect, the Torah, the ideology, that's constant. Right? What was true 1,000 years ago will be true 1,000,000 years from now as well. Right? And that's another advantage, but you really need both. In Am Yisrael, that's the chidush. Both go together. Yisrael, v'orayta, v'kudcha brichu, chadahu. The nation of Israel and God and the Torah, it's one and the same.
Alken, haregesh im ha-seichel hu bichlal ha-uma mechubar yachad.
Regarding the nation of Israel, the emotion, which is temporary, and the intellect, which is eternal, they go together. The intellect revives and enlightens the nationalist emotion that it should be nitzchi. Because again, emotion has ups and downs. Nationalism can be in style, can be out of style. But when it's mixed with an intellectual understanding of the role of Jewish nationalism, then it is eternal. Why is this so? If you look in current events, we've spoken about this once, and we're running out of time, but just when we look at Europe, and I hear from my friends in Sweden, that the Muslims are taking over because there's nothing can withstand the force of the emotion of religion and nationalism, the pan-Arabism, and because Europe is post-nationalist, they don't have religious fervor. All they have is the intellectual. And that's not strong enough. If you remember, we spoke about the three sides of the triangle, three ideologies that Rav Kook writes about or wrote. We learned it together. There are three ideologies in the world. The right, the left, and the religious. There is a need for nationalism, the right-wing parties. There is a need for humanists, the left-wing parties, and there is a need for people who focus on the religion, although all three are connected, are religious, right? But just for clarity's sake, now, if you have just the humanist, right, that's where the world is going, in the direction of humanism and globalism, everyone except the Arabs. So the Arabs are coming with a double-barreled shotgun, right? Because they also have the religious excitement, right? God, he promised them a share in paradise if you kill Jews, or if you, right? And, or you take over the world, the jihad. So they have the religion, they have the nationalism. They're missing the humanism, but that's two against one. In modern Europe and the Western world, all they got is humanism. And that is not strong enough. It's difficult to get excited intellectually with the same fervor as, you know, just imagine somebody going to war, you know, an intellect going to war as opposed to the Arabs going to war. And the only one who's going to be able to stand up to this Islamic fervor is the nation of Israel. Because in Am Yisrael, we have all three. It's religious,
nationalism and humanism. And I think I told you the story once before I take your comment. And I was being interviewed outside of the Beit Knesset in Gush Katif. And there was a Spanish, very intelligent newsman, spoke perfect English. His name was Ricardo. And he was trying to figure out who the orange people of Gush Katif are. Because he saw on the one hand, they're religious. Right? They're the boys and girls were in two different Batei Knesset, if you remember, barricaded up for the life. On the other hand, they seem with their feet on the ground. They're going to universities. They are intellectual. They're nationalistic. And they're humanist. Right? They speak very nicely and very politely. And he was trying to figure out, because he said, there's nothing like this anywhere in the world. There's a guy who's been around in the world. As we're just taking it step by step. He was saying, okay, I see that in general they're religious. I said, yeah, most of them come from Openot, Yeshivot, they study. So if they're religious, so they're against academics? So I said, no, they're into universalism and academics. Most of them, there's a disproportionate high number of intellectual achievement in Yehuda v'Shomron. And he said, oh, okay, so maybe they're like religious fanatics who also mix in the academic. So I said, no, they study Musar. I explained to him what Mesilat Yesharim is, and why is it that the boys and the girls are separate, and the ideas of Tzniut, and why the girls are wearing dresses, the idea of Chesed, the idea of Shirut. I explained to him what Shirut Lumi is, and that the boys spend a lot of time in the army, not because they're sadistic, not because they're blood hungry. As a matter of fact, most of the Beinishim, they're walking around with glasses, and a lot of them aren't physically strong, but many of them go to... Then, to make a long story short, he told me there is no such bird in the world like this group who has it all. And he was trying to understand, is there going to be a civil war? That's what everyone wanted. They wanted blood. So I told him, no, there's no way that this people who loves Israel and loves the army and loves the state and learns Mesilat Yesharim, we're not going to open up a civil war. And he said, I'll never forget it, he says, you people are probably going to lose this battle, but it's just a matter of time before you take over. Because there's nothing like it in the world, an ideology which is so complete, that has the emotion of religion and nationalism, together with the humanism and the universalism and the musar and the fineness and the intellect, that intellect and emotion, and all this goes together, davka lechatchila. And I'd learned Rav Kook before, but the way he said it, and this is a man of the world, he was wowed by the ideology of religious Zionism. And that's what can withstand, is the only thing that's going to withstand, the threat of the Arab-Islamic Hitlahavut. What do you want to say?
So this Arab Hitlahavut, which is termed as nationalism, but it's not based
and religion.
The national religion without the humanism. Mm-hmm. But this nationalism is not based on a country, per se. It's taking over the world.
So Pan-Arabism, what they call it, yeah.
They're taking over the world. So the world is...
It is based on a nation.
Except for this little spot, which is Israel, which is a thorn in their side. And they're supposed to be a thorn in our side. So how, if we're supposed to lie to the nations, and they're taking over the world, how do they get to realize the humanism if it's not part of their culture?
Someone asked Rav Tzvi Yehuda that if we always talk about Ahavat Yisrael, bringing Jews closer to Torah through love, through the two Alephs, right? Ahava and Emunah. Loving to be from the students of Aaron, Ohevet Abriot, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Shalom, Mikarvan LaTorah. So why don't we do that with the Arabs too? Let's show them kindness and love. And it takes two to tango. It takes two to fight. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda answered, we will makarv them with the help of tanks. Right? We will get to peace with the help of tanks. We need those
nuclear bombs behind us to convince them that it's not worth their time to start up with us.
Kind of outnumbered there, even though, you know, we're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu and miracles that happen in the world, and they start taking over everybody else in the world.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, we're living, it's a good question, but we're living in a time where numbers don't count. Just if 171 Jews have won Nobel Prizes and 6 Muslims have won Nobel Prizes.
Well, because they just aren't into humanity.
That's the point. But if those 171 Nobel Prizes can make atom bombs, we can make the Merkava, we can make laser weapons, we can make a lot of things that the backward Arabs really will be left far behind. In other words, in the modern world, the size and the quantity counts a lot less than the quality. You know, if you can deter, we can. That's part of the idea of the nuclear missiles that we have outside of Iran. That's what's going to deter them from nuking us originally, in somewhere along the line. That's the chiddush of Am Yisrael. We're not wimps. We're humanists with a strong army, with a strong religion. And that's exactly the point, right? That it needs to go together, because that's the only thing that can withstand. Okay, we're running out of time, so let me just skip. I'll summarize it in the end. Rav Kook goes on to say on the next page that the Kohanim, what is the number 24? The Kohanim who wanted to bring the Ark into the Holy of Holies, or it's the Kohanim, they're the ones who are in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Holy Temple. There are 24 Matnot Kohuna. There are 24 gifts that the Israelites give to the priests. Hazroa lechayim vekevav, and truma, and trumat maaser, and bikurim, and chala. Right? There are 24 gifts that we give to the Kohanim. Rav Kook explains that the Kohanim, part of their job, the Kohanim and Levim, that's all Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, is that they sing. And they do the service, the sacrifice. The Kohanim are very strong emotionally. But they are also the intellectual teachers of Torah. As Moshe in his bracha at the end of the Torah to Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, he says, Yoru mishpatech li Yaakov v'toratcha li Yisrael. You are supposed to be the teachers of the people of Israel. Kisifte kohen yishmeru dat. Right? The Navi, the prophet, says that it's the lips of the Kohen who will keep the knowledge, the intellect. There's a halacha, it's a machlok, whether it's Doraita or Dorabano, if it's an Asmachta, that there has to be a Kohen on the Sanhedrin. There has to be a Kohen on the Sanhedrin. Even if theoretically he's not among the top 71 people, but 71 scholars, but there has to be a Kohen there. And that's why the Torah sometimes refers to the Sanhedrin as the Kohanim. Rav Kook explains it very beautifully. Just like in the nation of Israel, the emotion and the intellect harmonize, as opposed to other places in the world where the nationalism and humanism contradict. In Israel, they harmonize. So too regarding the Kohanim. And so too regarding the Beit HaMikdash. What does the Holy Temple represent? On the one hand, it is Ki Beiti Beit Tefila Yikare L'Chol Amim. It is a house of prayer and worship and emotion. Right? There's a lot of wine and not, you don't get drunk, but
spiritual.
It's spiritual, right? But it's also the Torah center of the world. The Lishkata Gazit, the Sanhedrin, the ruling body, the intellect, is on the same mountain as the Beit HaMikdash, because the intellect and the emotion, to summarize, unite also in the Kohanim, also in the Beit HaMikdash, and also in Jewish nationalism. Nevertheless, as we'll see next week, the gates still aren't opening up, because there's still something missing, even though we have two very important factors which are harmonizing each other, we're still missing something that we'll talk about next time.
Yeah. Thank you.